John Tamati is with us today. Congratulations, John. Things are really panning out so solid. I'm thinking that Te Pāti Māori's success might have inspired the Kiwis. David and Goliath, hey, mate.
Oh, no, look, I tell you, that you and I have waited a long time to put 30 points nil on the Australian side. But that side was packed full of the best players in the world, from Pask up front all the way to Sariga back at the back. And I think the win was just such a magnificent win. If you're a leaguey, and, we've always walked away from some parks with our heads down, but, God, that win on the weekend sort of fixed it all up for me.
13,000, and when it was shooting across to that eastern stand, it looked as though, our support wasn't there, but it was an amazing show from young guys who just really stood up to the challenge, and I can't think of a better one. I was there for the 24-3 win in 1972 or 3, whenever that was, John, and to be there in Hamilton on Saturday evening was just, it was magic. And, big ups to all of our whānau Māori who did turn up, because I'm sure that they helped get them across the line. Congratulations. You're seen as some sort of political strategic guru now, JT.
Who's that?
You.
Oh, no, well, if that's the case, what's Willie?
Don't be going there. Oh, come on now, mate. Hey, yeah, where's that humility you're famous for, John?
In fact, where is Willie?
I don't know. Where is he? You know more than me. Where is he?
Oh, I think he's getting antidepressant pills now as we speak. Hey, look, the takeaways from it, it's just incredible. I mean, you got four cabinet ministers turfed out. You got, these are good people, right? So our people starting to wake up to the fact that, when we propose things for them, and it doesn't matter whether you're in government or not, what matters is there's a belief starting to grow in our people that we don't need others standing over us and don't need to kowtow to others. It's about time that we were allowed to self-manage ourselves and others taking our resources, deploying them, failing us, and then calling us the failure. And so that message is starting to get through, the message of hope that that's going to occur. You know, that this young, vibrant population of highly skilled Māori are on the market coming through. And they're struggling to get breakthrough, not because they're not skilled, because that was always an argument against us, but because they're not in control of their own assets or their control of their share of those assets. And that's why a number of them are really struggling, but they're great kids, they're great young people looking for a way through this. And I think Te Pāti Māori provides the consistent advocacy for the release of those assets into our hands to self-manage, and we don't need others standing over us to do it again.
Well, it does sort of signal a major change for Māori voters, doesn't it? That Labor can't ever rest on the historical support for the Māori seats again.
Well, it's just a matter of time before, whether you call it a red team or a blue team, or you call it the left team or the right team, understand that the brown team is going to be very important at the table all the time. And that's part of our constitutional right and entitlement to assert that. Never before has it been provided to be judged out by Luxon in May of this year, solely because he don't like the cut of our leadership or how they advocate for us, is a form of suppression and censorship. And I'm so pleased that our people have spoken for us. This is the first campaign the new iteration of Te Pāti Māori has run on a two-tick campaign. Remember, in 2020, without a seat, we just asked our people for one tick. And so with a two-tick campaign, significant numbers come back to us. And so you'll start to see more of the two-tick and more non-Māori coming our way, because you've got to put a backbone in some governments in regard to moving the dial and taxing the wealthy. Get this right. This was not a landslide win for National. The Māori Party forced overhangs and forced them to have to do business with Mr. Peters. You know, and Mr. Peters didn't win that. The Te Pāti Māori and the constitutional, if you look at the arithmetic, ensured that National was always going to need New Zealand First. Okay, so I think we don't get the kudos for the great effort that occurred in election 2023. It's changing the political landscape, whether Labor likes it or whether National likes it or not.
Can we acknowledge Mari Amino's success? You get the feeling that even though her opponent Calvin had high-profile positions and was a senior figure in the Labor government, that Mari Amino's success seems to have come because of her decades-long contribution to Te Ao Māori.
Oh, more than a decade, decades. So you've got to understand the kapa, whakapapa, into the north. It is significant, and it does reach down into the Waikato as well because of strategic marriages, tomo, in the old days. So all of our people bring a huge whakapapa. We're struggling on the North Shore, where the Māori vote is. We run a very hard, intense campaign in the West, and the Western booths came our way for Te Tai Tokerau and Tāmaki. They did not in 2020. So you know, we're chipping away here, and we understand exactly where we've got to do more work, and we understand exactly where we didn't get the vote that we deserved, and we'll be a lot better for that in the next election. But I can't take it away from Mari Amino and her whānau. Korotangi, her man, you know, just was just enslaved for 24/7 for this year for his wife and her triplets and her girl just committed their whole life to ensuring that their mother got across the line. That takes a lot of courage, and it also takes a lot of gas out of one whānau. So big ups to Mari Amino getting across the line against Calvin.
Sometimes in life you get what you deserve, and Luxon has got Seymour and Peters. Is this combo workable?
Well, look, here's the thing. In our world, as Rāwiri Waititi put it quite eloquently when asked, you know, the first coalition agreement, the Treaty of Waitangi, fell to pieces soon after it was signed, and we've been in opposition ever since. And so for us, our job, now that we have the mandate of our people, will be to hold this government account in the way in which we rightly and justly deserve our own resources managed through our own hands rather than their mates. So we will hold the government to account. We'll just see how this thing rides out. I'm very confident at our ability and capacity and capability in the House now, where we've got four more MPs as opposed to just Deb and Rāwiri holding the line, and they did a magnificent job, as you know. They rebuilt the brand single-handedly, well, as a duopoly. They rebuilt our brand over 3 years. And so I think we're in for a really good time in regard to enlivening Māori rights and understanding how we go about securing them.
The demographers are saying that one in three babies born from 1940 will be Māori.
Well, we know that 25% of all babies under five tonight are. We know that they're growing up in a world unlike yours and mine, where we were taught French because Māori was denied. There was only two languages, English and French, in your day and my day. And that at all times we were deemed as dummies. You know, well, you know, like not as clever as the white kids. So the hangover of those days still exists. You know, have a look at the crowds at ACT and the New Zealand First pool. So it's we've still got a very tough tail to fight, but we've got this huge, new, vibrant, new Aotearoa hau that's coming through that we identified long ago, and that's where our future lay in a new reshaped constitution, a new reshaped Aotearoa. I just think getting those six seats, it wasn't just humbling. It was that our candidates were worthy of them. That's our side of it, without sounding whakahihi.
Tēnā koe. You know, even though they might have been vanquished politically, we can't doubt the sincerity of wanting to advance Māori kaupapa by three who now seem as though they may find themselves outside of the political realm. I'm talking Pieni, Willie, Kelvin. Kelvin's already mentioned that if the people of Te Tukurau don't want him, then he would retire. Would you like to see that? Do you think that's the appropriate move? Or do we need every soldier fighting for Māori causes, irrespective of the brand that they are utilising? Would you like to see, for instance, Kelvin step aside, or do you think he's still got something to offer? Likewise, Pieni, likewise, Willie.
Well, these are things that I don't like speculating on. They're things in the hearts, souls, and minds of those three people that you've mentioned. Do they have a lot to offer? Of course they do. Do they have a lot to offer in the political realm now? They might not. You know, it might be that they hand over to the next generation of... We've got just this outstanding capacity and capability of skilled young Māori waiting for their chance and being suppressed by others taking our resources and managing them for us. So if we can break those shackles, which is the new slavery, the new form of slavery, and get there, we'll get there. But that talent, we worked our guts out. Your boy, we worked our guts out to shape him and rest of your whānau and mokopunas coming through. And they're totally different. They're just totally different to you and I, because they were exposed to what they were worth, and they were exposed to what they should believe in themselves of, and they're exposed to their tikanga and reo. So we've got this new group of Māori coming through that needs their talent unleashed, and it's our job to put in place pathways for that. And I think the three gentlemen that you've talked about understand that. And I tell you what, Kelvin alone, the talent in his family is just extraordinary.
Well, it'll be up to them. It'll be interesting to see, what moves they make. And for yourself, John, I mean, I started off, and it wasn't all tongue-in-cheek, mate, seen as a sort of political strategist. And the David and Goliath reference wasn't a flippant or throwaway line either. I mean, we've witnessed something historical, as we did on Saturday in Kerikeriroa. For you, what personal satisfaction do you take? And I know that you're humble in this regard, but it must be tremendously satisfying to have seen this pan out in the way that you had hoped for, but perhaps one, maybe two election cycles earlier. What personal satisfaction do you take from the way Te Pāti Māori has performed in 2023's election?
Oh, look, I think my girl Kitty is probably the main backbone of what occurred over the last 3 years, without taking anything away from Deb and Rowdy. And then, you've got an office staff, Grace, and an outstanding talent from Taranaki, the grandson of one of our greatest poets, that's in there too, Jack. So I just think that the unsung heroes are those who always do all the hard graft in the background. And then we have our great performers that go out in front on the stage and perform. And some of the best work is done in putting the costumes in place, in putting the kai on the table to feed them, in constructing the waiata and the haka and so on. So there are multiple champions that win the day. And often it goes down to the top team on the field, but to get that team on the field, mate, takes the whole par.
Tēnā koe, John. Takutai is listening into the back end of our conversation. Obviously, you're proud of what she has brought to the table, but we're anticipating there will be a recount. Even so, to win Tamaki Makaurau is a real... it's a milestone in Māori politics, and I'm sure that she has appreciated some uncle-type advice from you, John, over this last few years.
Look, Takutai this was her first radio. Right, all our other candidates had been blooded and understood what being under fire was about. Takutai, because of the rangatahi groups that promoted her to be the candidate, took on the challenge. And she took on an institution. You don't go up against the Henare name, leader of the Māori Battalion, his grandfather. His father, one of the forebears of setting up, Matawai, of setting up, Koangarewa, of setting up these things. That's a powerhouse name in Tamaki Makaurau. And so for a woman from Taranaki and elsewhere with whakapapa, but an urban Māori woman who demonstrated capacity and capability building at Manurewa Marae like nobody else, you know, that, you've got to place this win of hers and turning it around in the context of the moment. It's just that her win in Tamaki Makaurau was probably one of the greatest achievements we've ever pulled off. Pini is a good person. Pini is a good man and is a good politician. And it wasn't about Pini. It was about Tash being in the right party, saying the right things, doing the right things at the right moment in time. And so I just wanted to give her a big up. Her win was just sensational. I just thought, of course, Takute's majority is blowing out. So has Hana's, right? But for Tash to get across the line, that was incredible. So I look forward to listening to her after this.
Thank you, John. Thanks for sharing some kōrero, Māori o Rikakui. John Tamere, President of Te Pāti.